Yes. America. That song is called Root Beer Rag by Billy Joel. It served as the theme song for a new show on PBS in 1975 called Opening Soon at a Theater Near You. The two men who were featured on that show were Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert, who were rival film critics for the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times. They parlayed that PBS show into later syndicated success with the two thumbs up and the two thumbs down as the greatest movie critics America has known because of the way they could relate not just to movies, but to the people who go to the movies and whether or not it was a good idea to see this movie or skip that movie. That is what made Siskel and Ebert so good. We lost Gene Siskel to brain cancer in 1999, and on Thursday, we lost Roger Ebert as well. Bob Green is also a legendary newspaper man and columnist from Chicago who was good friends with Roger Ebert, so I've asked him to join me today and talk about it. Bob, welcome to America Weekend.
It's good to talk to you again. Thanks for calling.
You knew Roger for some 40 years, going back to the days when you were both young newspaper men. Tell me about those early days with Roger in Chicago.
He was just, you know, before he'd ever appeared on television, he was just such a fine writer. And he was so full of, you know, I remember just his laughter and his storytelling and just his joy as a young man of being around people, being around other newspaper people. I wrote something about him for CNN yesterday, and I said to the readers, you know how well he wrote. I wish you could have seen how fast he wrote. I mean, Roger was so good on those old manual typewriters, it sounded like a machine gun. It was so fast. I mean, nobody writes that fast. And then you would look at the results, and it's absolutely beautiful and flawless, the writing that quickly. He was a pure newspaper man, and I think even with all the television stuff that came afterwards, a newspaper man at heart is who he was.
And even in the internet age, he continued to write like that online.
Absolutely. You know, as I'm sure your listeners all know, Roger, because of the cancer surgeries, lost his ability to speak. And for a person with a voice that famous and a person who loved to talk, I mean, Roger, it wasn't just on television. Roger came into a room and he was talking. He told that's what he loved to do. To have that stolen from him, to be told you will never be able to speak a word again. And yet, luckily for Roger and for all of us, this happened in the internet age. Had it happened 20 years ago, he would have been isolated from the world. But he got on that computer, and he spent all day and all night on it every day, and he built a new body of work, talking to the world, talking to his friends through the keyboard.
He wrote an essay in September of 2011 on death in which he said, I know it's coming and I do not fear it because I believe there's nothing on the other side of death to fear. I hope to be spared as much pain as possible on the approach path. I was perfectly content before I was born, and I think of death as the same state. He says, yeah, I'm grateful for the gifts of intelligence, love, wonder, and laughter. You can't say it wasn't interesting. Did you and Roger ever talk about death?
No, we really didn't. I mean, probably we did when we were very young men, when it didn't, you know, when it seemed so far off in the distance. But Roger and I, it's funny, for all our conversations over all the years out loud, there was a certain intimacy to the email exchanges that, I don't know, made us communicate even more directly, even better. And we mostly talked about stuff that that made Roger laugh and made me laugh. I mean, we would send notes back and forth. I just have this one memory, again, as a young newspaper man. Roger was still drinking in those days. He stopped drinking years later and never drank again. But the bars on North Avenue in Chicago, some of them would close at 4 o'clock in the morning. And there were nights when a group of us would walk out of one of those bars, and rumbling down the street would be a Sun-Times delivery truck. And we knew the drivers, and they knew us, and they would say, hop in. And they would say they'd give us a ride home before dawn. They were out delivering bundles of papers. And I can remember on certain nights, Roger reaching back into the back of the truck, grabbing the top copy of the newspaper off the bundle, flipping through it and finding the column, the review, he had written just hours before. And there we would be rumbling down the street before dawn, and Roger would be reading his words in the paper.
Hmm.
He had that kind of enthusiasm and love for what he did.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Bob Green, who spent decades as a Chicago newspaper columnist himself, remembering his old friend Roger Ebert. Bob is now a contributor to CNN and the author of many, many books, which I've had the pleasure of talking with him about through the years. I should also say that Roger, like Gene, was a terrific, terrific radio guest, because the guy just loved what he did for a living. I'm curious about outside of the newspaper office, when you'd go to a bar or you'd have dinner with him, whether that movie enthusiasm was a part of his everyday conversation, Bob.
The enthusiasm part was, the movie part, not necessarily. The same voice you heard on television would be used to tell stories about just about anything in the world. His interests were wide-ranging. His beat was the movies. He loved the movies. I mean, he loved them. But he didn't always sit down and start talking about, here's what you got to see this weekend. Although it reminds me, I was in Chicago last week, and speaking of him recommending things, and there's an old theater called The Esquire on Oak Street. And the big vertical bright sign is still up there, even though the theater itself has closed. And there is now a new glitzy steakhouse inside the old theater building. And I walked down there. I knew Roger had not been doing well. And I wanted to raise a quiet toast to him because of a memory I had. In 1971, in the old Sun-Times newsroom at 401 North Wabash in Chicago, Roger came over to me with the dupes, the carbon copies, of a review he'd just written. And he handed me the carbons and asked me to read it. And he said, I think you'd love this movie. And the movie was The Last Picture Show. And that day, on Roger's recommendation, I went down to the Esquire Theater in 1971 and saw The Last Picture Show, and it was wonderful. Seeing that theater building, even though the movie screens are gone now, I walked up there last week, and I rode an escalator upstairs, and there's a bar on the third level, right where I think the projection booth almost certainly was. And I just sat there and thought about Roger and about how, more than 40 years ago, he had sent me to this building, and I just sort of had a feeling, because I could tell from our recent correspondence that he was not doing great. It was kind of a haunting moment.
One of the things that always occurred to me about Roger and Gene when they did the show together for all those years, no matter what the name was, well, first of all, they were the first two regular guys I remember seeing on TV. Everybody else who was on TV looked pretty, and these guys looked kind of like us, Bob. You know, they were not ultra-handsome guys. They weren't ugly by any means, but they were just average-looking guys, and they also spoke the same vocabulary that we spoke. There wasn't a snootiness to them when they reviewed movies, and I'm sure that's the way Roger also was in real life, right?
Well, absolutely, because they were, even though they became television stars, had they gone into television directly, had they not had a newspaper job, as you say, Paul, they would have never gotten on the air. They were on there as newspaper guys, and they could look and sound like they wanted to look. But I always do think about that had Roger and Gene, as young men, applied for jobs on local television stations and no one knew who they were, they wouldn't have gotten them.
No.
But as newspaper guys on TV, they were perfect.
The other thing I admired about them was the fact that they would champion little movies. It's easy to review the big blockbuster movie with all the special effects, or the ones that the studios have saved for summertime that are going to be their tentpole movies for the summer. But Roger, in particular, through all his writing and his television appearances, loved to talk about the smaller movies, the documentaries, the ones that you may not have known, the ones that might only be showing at the art houses. And through the years, because he championed them, some of those movies, I remember in particular a movie called Hoop Dreams, one of the greatest sports documentaries ever, they became successful because of his influence.
Well, there are actresses and actors and directors and screenwriters all over America, all over the world, who have wonderful, fond thoughts of Roger, because they know that without him championing their movie, it would have never been seen. So, yes, they had the power to give, you know, 4 stars or 1 star to a blockbuster, or a thumbs up or thumbs down, but that's, you know, those blockbusters were going to get the promotion, the TV commercials, and the full-page ads anyway. I know Roger took real joy and pride in finding a movie that might not get seen and make sure that it found an audience.
And by the way, the director of that documentary, Hoop Dreams, is Steve James, who has been working with Martin Scorsese on a documentary about Roger Ebert. And he tweeted on Thursday evening.
I was just going to say that, but go ahead. I didn't hear Ed.
I was just going to say, he tweeted on Thursday evening that Roger may be gone, but the project will go forward. Bob, I appreciate you joining me. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm sorry for your loss of a close friend in Roger Ebert, but thanks for sharing some of your memories of him.
Thank you, Paul, and it's always good to talk with you.
And by the way, Roger's annual movie festival, Ebert Fest, will go on at the University of Illinois starting on April 17th, now in its 15th year.